Welcome to the Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. This is Late Night with the Vinyl Preacher. I'm Matt Cato, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church and Campus Ministry, but currently on sabbatical.
And I'm Zach Pierce. I live right down the road, not even down the road, one block, exactly one block from a little place called Harvest Record Store in Asheville, North Carolina. Shout out to Harvest Records. On their 19th anniversary, which they celebrated recently with a party where I bought some vinyl records. And my child, the vinyl child, Matt, went with us, was super excited. We wanted to include her in our excitement. And so the vinyl spouse asked, "Are you looking for anything, Zelma?" And she said, "Red Hot Chili Peppers." And so I'm pretty proud of her. Even, you know.
Yeah.
People have mixed emotions about Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't. But went to find Red Hot Chili Peppers albums with her. They had one. So that's cool. It was $40. and so he's like, "Oh, you don't know any of the songs on this album. Like, it's not." And to be fair, I don't even remember which one. It wasn't Californication. It wasn't Blood, Sweat, Magic, Sex, Tears. It was another one. And so like, she really didn't know. And it was $40. So I wasn't sure we were ready to invest that much because she hasn't proven that kind of fandom yet.
Right.
But then, she decided she wanted a Weird Al album.
That, nice.
And that's a tricky one in a record shop.
Yeah.
Like, where do they put Weird Al?
That's
Is Al in like the rock pop section?
Right.
Where soundtracks. Did you find it? Well, we couldn't find it, right? We looked in all the places.
Did
we
you thought have it to
was
ask?
They had comedy albums, wasn't in the comedy albums. So then we had to go to ask. And the person working there, the young woman, was very kind and was trying to talk to Zelma. And she was like, Zelma like kind of was being really shy. And so she was like, "Oh, is it a singer? Is there like, oh, is she a singer?" is what the clerk said. And then, you know, she had the big, she's thinking, right? Like, I don't know, Sia or something, which was the second ask. But out of nowhere, my 7-year-old child says, "It's Weird Al." They had one Weird Al album they recently got in that's used, I guess, and they clean it and check him out before they put him out. So they're going to give us a call. We had to give them the number. And so we've got a Weird Al album.
Weird Al.
That's
great. That's fantastic.
Matt, I got to get it in the mail because they got cool stickers, Harvest Record stickers.
Wow.
Get this to you here. Podcasting, a visual medium.
That's pretty great. It looked like Tetris blocks. It's an unexpected choice for the name Harvest. I would have expected like a cornfield or something.
Harvest Moon kind of vibes.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, unexpected.
They've got some stuff like that. Like the signs a little more like that, I think. Mm. But
good name for a record store. You're like harvesting the.
Mm. Oh, that's good. That's good stuff.
Very nice. Yeah. That's an excellent bio, Zach. I like your, people ask you for the short 2-sentence bio. That's what you got.
It is. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
In certain circles these days, hard to describe. My bio in 2 sentences.
I was at a used bookstore today here in Morro Bay, California, a place both of us have been to. Mm. And I stumbled upon it. Speaking of prices, unexpected prices of things, I stumbled upon they had Jurassic Park, the book.
Dang.
On the shelf. And I was like, is that, that looks like it's probably like the original. Cause like the printing, it's not like the movie font, you know,
there's a
movie font, you know. You read it, right? Like
I read a paperback, definitely movie font. It was released like at the same time.
I love the movie. Also love the book. Probably read it only one time, but they're very distinct things, right? So I open up this book. I pull it off the shelf. I open it up, and I read like about 5 pages because it's that good. And I was like, and then I was like, you know what? I should see how much this is. I should just flip the cover over and see. And it was $75.
Wow.
For a first edition.
Wow.
Which I think came from a library because it was in the library plastic and everything. Mm-hmm. And still,
dang.
$75. I couldn't do it. Not worth it to me.
all the things you're finding, Matt, on your, you're in the midst of a road trip, Matt, because you're, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, you're on an aforementioned sabbatical. You're road tripping up the California coast. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I am. This is pilgrimage number 3 of my 3 pilgrimages that I wrote into this sabbatical, which I believe I originally wrote in February of 2020.
You didn't think to write 4 pilgrimages into your sabbatical plans?
Right? You would think. I mean, the 3 were still pretty, like, each one contained multitudes. So there was Appalachia, there was Germany and Scotland in Europe, and then there's California, the place where I was born in San Francisco. So I was like, okay, and why don't I like building a trip up there? And so I wrote this paragraph, which I went back and reread because I was like, what is it I'm supposed to be doing right now? And it says I'm gonna drive to California and just reflect on what it means to live here in California. What is that? Just reflect on that. What does it mean to call this my home, which is such a ridiculous thing to do. Like,
any big reflections on California?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of driving. I listened to a great book called Alta California. And it's this guy walked, it just came out like last year. And this guy walked from San Diego to San Francisco. He's walking the original route of Portola and the missions. And he's retracing the steps on foot. And it's, again, I don't know how you get that job, but I would like it to be able to do things like that and then write a book about it. But he did the walk in like 2016. The book was published, I think, like 22. So apparently it takes a long time.
Takes to, like, a while.
To write the book.
Oh, the book part takes a while. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, then I just, you know, I don't know what the insights are other than, yeah. I mean, California's a beautiful place, but I don't have the same sense of like romanticism around place that I did when I was 30. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I can still appreciate it, but I don't have that same, like, I mean, I have it cause I'll always be me, but it's sort of tempered with, you know, life.
Life gets you. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that, and then just the time goes fast. Like, we were here, I mean, God, 12 years ago or something. I think about the number of times I've been up here and just life comes at you fast, Zach. Goes it does. Fast.
13 years ago, we had that amazing photo in front of a large cow.
You did. Yeah. Yeah.
We got our social media intern to put that up on the socials this week.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure I could find it pretty quick. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm in Morro Bay now. I was debating whether I should stop at Pinnacles National Park tomorrow, which is a crazy thing to do, but maybe I'll do it. Big Sur is apparently closed due to the direct route is closed due to a landslide, which sounds dangerous. But maybe I can go down the northern route. I've never been there. I've never done Big Sur. So it feels like
there's no
one else in the car with me to say, that's crazy. Let's not, we can't do that. So, you know, now's the time, I guess.
Stevie Nicks will be there.
So, yeah, that's the journey I'm on. But I will report back on a future episode.
Can't wait.
The rest of my findings.
Can't wait.
You, I did hear a song though on my California playlist, which made me think of you. And the song was, I think it's Heads Carolina, Tails California, or maybe it's the reverse. I can't remember which is which. But I assume that's what you did when you were thinking about where to move next, is that you just flipped the coin.
That's exactly.
It could have been California or Carolina. You flipped a coin and now you're in Carolina. So
metaphorically, literally, you know, the metaphor applies in lots of ways.
how's it going there, Zach? I hear that you're church shopping.
We've been, took the summer off, Matt, because I've been to church a lot over the past 13 years. I get a lot going on. Some members of my household have been more interested in seeing what church stuff might look like. So we went to church on Sunday for the first time how to describe it. I've been to church. We went to church together. But that was kind of like it was my nephew's confirmation. We were there. Different kind of thing versus like you know, I've always been a secret shopper of churches in some sense, right? Like I've been, was always on the road on Sunday mornings. Hannah asked, you know, what is it like, what does it feel like to like go to church and not be in charge of things? And I was like, what do you mean? Like I've always gone to churches where other people are in charge and been super judgmental and kept it to myself. Like what? Nothing needs to change here. So that's what I did, which is good. Interesting. I'll have notes, I'm sure, as we start church exploration. I don't know that we're shopping, but exploring. Shout out to Hannah for not outing me immediately after the service when that could have been easy. So I haven't been outed yet. I mean, I assume it'll happen at some point, but...
Mm-hmm. What... I mean, I know it's not shopping, but going with that metaphor, are there specific things? Do you have like a shopping list? Like there are specific things that you're looking for, or is this a like, I'm gonna go to REI and just see what's there today? And let the inspiration take me, you know?
So the part that I thought about with the church that we happened to visit most recently meant that I'm gonna try not to explicitly name because like we might end up there again and I'll get outed eventually and there's a non-zero chance somebody could listen and I would feel bad about it. But is a graphic design, like, you know, not that that like, I do care about graphic design. Okay. I should say that, Matt. Like, I think you can respect that. Like I care about church graphic design. Okay. But more than I care about it, it communicates a lot.
Mm.
Right. Mm. And so we were looking at this church that seemed like it might be, it should go on the list of things to check out, right? Places to check out. But then I'd see their like logo and it was so not good, I think is the way to say it, right? Like it didn't say anything about the community that like I hoped that the community might say about itself if I showed up in person, you know, like, and so like, you know, we went there, so we got over that. I got over that, obviously. I'm not driving this process, which is intentional. But that's my like 50% serious question is a question and reflection, right? Of like that graphic design was so bad it made me be like, right? Like I'm a real person. I mean, I know I'm a weird, like unusual person in lots of different ways. But Matt, I think what I'm saying is all of the stress that you've put into the graphic design for St. Mark's, there's some utility
to it. Because I question whether it's worth it. And you're telling me.
I'm telling you it's not nothing.
It's not nothing.
Shout out. Well, gosh, then shout out to this church who at the service, though, did say, announce their new brand and stuff. So they've rebranded. I haven't seen it, but it's definitely not going to be worse.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's, gosh, it's tough, man. It's tough. When I was on internship, our congregation had like a graphic designer in the congregation. She was like an artist. She went to school for it. She'd do all this stuff, like just pro bono for the church, you know, like she just cared about it. And she's just so good. Right. Not every church, like you don't get to, it's not like you're an NBA team and you got to like, all right, I know we got to fill this position. So I got to make sure I've got my graphic designer in the membership. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Different churches have different skills, different gifts. Sometimes that comes with trying to find a treasurer. Sometimes it comes with trying to find a graphic designer, you know. Maybe it could be you though, Zach. That could be your first. You become a member and then you start an initiative.
I know that the popular pastor position to take, you know, is like, don't like church shopping, like in general is bad, you know, like, cause you're looking for what the church can do for you, you know, and it should be JFK style, you know, what can you do for the church? And, you know, I hear you and stuff, right. And that's not exactly the disposition I have right now. But rather, like the main question, like for me, I think is like, could I, do I, like, is this for me, I think is a question that's like rooted in belonging. Cause you know, obviously the belonging stuff for me, right? Like, could this be for me? Is this for me? Graphic design, not a thing that really matters, right? though, you know, it makes a difference, right? That's real.
Sure.
It's when you show up like, and as the person who I am, which is a person currently working, pursuing a career in civil engineering, previously, though still ordained in Word and Sacrament, one of my frustrations with the church over the years, right? Like, is when we show up right out of seminary, I'm 26, and I show up to First Call kind of congregation, and like, you look around, there's nobody like you, you know, like, this isn't for me, right? Like, if I was here, this is not where I would be hanging out. Like, if I didn't have to be here for my job, right? Like, this is not, you look around, oh no, not for me. But that's okay. It's my job. Right. And you like, I'm a young person in the church. But you know, Matt, there are rumors that I'm going to be 40 this year. and in so many spaces, I haven't noticed any improvement in those like numbers, right? Like, you know, I used to keep track of it when I was like the youngest clergy person in the synod. And
yeah,
like, I had the record for a while, and then some folks came in and stole the record from me, but then they like burned out really quick and so left. And so then I was back to like reclaim my crown at like 30 or whatever it was, you know, like, and just, you know, not to argue completely in favor of silos, though I think they have their place. You know, you just don't want to be the only one under 30 or 50 in a space, right? Like,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. Late night ramblings.
No, I hear you. So we're looking for graphic design and some youth, which is defined by under 60.
Just anybody looks like they have a job they got to go to during the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, good luck. We look forward to hearing updates on this journey as well.
If we keep doing these late night recording sessions, Matt, I'm going to get more and more brutally honest.
Just by the way, when you said you haven't been outed yet, do you mean outed as the co-host of the Vinyl Preacher podcast?
That's exactly. That's exactly what.
Your voice sounds familiar.
Wait a second. I feel like you've told me to listen to songs before. And you have a lot of thoughts about sheep. Wait a second.
Suddenly,
I'm thinking about the 8th century BCE. And honor shame. Scapegoat?
Did she just say Girardian? Oh my goodness. Well, here we are. Talking text. Are we really talking text for the September 3rd? Oh my gosh.
September 3rd. I got to get ready to preach. I'm preaching the next week.
Wow. That's where we're at. Jeremiah gotta love Jeremiah. Just warm and fuzzies all around.
Happiest guy.
Well, this week, the prophet Jeremiah tells us this. Oh Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. It's a light beginning. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account, I suffer insult. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, not me, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand, I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. Ooh. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the Ruthless, Word of God, Word of Life.
Thanks be to God, Matt. Jeremiah is a little dramatic here. One of my takeaways here. And I think, so brief anecdote, Matt. Brief anecdote. I was trying to install a ceiling fan recently, and it did not go well. I could regale you with all the details. They're tedious, monotonous. I was trying, doing all the things right, but then things outside of my control were happening, and it was getting late. I thought I could do it real quick because it's not that complicated. And suddenly it's 11:30 at night. The lights are off because I'm installing a fan. I've got a flashlight and it's not working. And Matt, I lost my mind. Okay. Full on.
Yeah.
Out of body experience. The words that came out of my mouth were Jeremiah kind of words. You know, I was stuck in that moment under the weight, the heavy weight of the hand of God crushing me like a bug. And I think that, you know, we got this tendency to like hear and read the scriptures always as really sincere, you know? And I think that's a justified, a valid way to read them. But I'd like to make room this week for Jeremiah's over-the-top complaining slash moaning of his situation as fully human in that sort of like, sometimes you got to say things. Not because of their close connection to objective reality, but because of their proximity to the reality of our emotional interiors, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear that. And I appreciate it. I appreciate Jeremiah's words. I mean, it reminds me, I mean, love your example because I've been there. We got back from our 7-week trip and it seemed like 100 things were going wrong with the house all at once. Mm-hmm. That was just made me so mad because I had 7 weeks off of thinking about it and then it just came like a flood. so I could have uttered some of this as well. But also reminds me, I mean, I just think of the times when I've been in situations with people where they were truly facing something awful and to know that there are words in scripture that can give voice to that, that there is actually space in scripture for that is really important and powerful, that it isn't just your best life now, but it's also Jeremiah.
Yeah. There's real versatility. I think that's a feature, not a bug of the text, right?
That they,
we can read Jeremiah sincerely. We can also read it in other ways as well. I don't love the tag on the end where God's like, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, there are definitely two halves, right? Like, gosh, I feel like that second half, it's like you can either reject it and be like, I'm not ready for that. Or it becomes this kind of promise that it's just kind of, we're not quite there yet, but we're going to hold this promise on the wall and we're going to just hold on to it. But I also feel like there are those moments where you're just like, no, I'm going to just stop it. Wherever waters that fail, whatever verse that is, I'm gonna stop there today. That's where I'm gonna stop. I know this other part is coming. I know that intellectually, but I'm not ready to go there yet. We'll do that tomorrow.
One of the features of our late night recording sessions, Matt, is nocturnal creatures are awake. so I'm not sure if you're catching the hamster wheel that's turning right now.
I can't.
But yeah, okay, maybe the listeners are. Shout out to the hamster who's running on his wheel that he hoards his food in. So it's incredibly loud to me, at least.
Yeah. Can't hear it. I do want to point out before we leave Jeremiah, I love this. I don't remember ever reading this metaphor before. You are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail, because there are these other lines that are like the waters never fail. Right. Like that's nope. These are waters that fail because you're a deceitful brook.
Like what a, it.
Woo.
One of them lion
sick burn
waterways. Oh, I like it, man. If we, Matt, did more preparation on the podcast, we would not feel so vindicated by the gospel this week. Because if you recall, last week was Peter is the rock upon which Jesus is going to build this church. And we talked about how maybe Peter's not actually that great of a stuff to use as the rock. Spoilers, we did not read ahead to the text this week because we're all on the same page. We're all vibing. Jesus, here in the Gospel of Matthew, began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and the scribes. Insult to injury, Matt. Elders, chief priests, powerful people, you think, right? Yeah, that makes sense. But then, like, the transcribers, the people who write, the writer strike people got him, and be killed by those people, and the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will pay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here right now who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In 7 days, Matt, we went from Peter is the rock to Peter is the stumbling block. I don't think I've ever fully caught that transition there, right? From the rock as the foundation moves to be the rock that is the impediment, the stumbling block.
Yeah. No, it's really good. It'll preach 2 weeks in a row. I mean, it's just, here it is. Yeah.
I like that. It's more of what we talked about last week, right? Which again, Peter's the stuff Jesus is working with, and Peter is apparently profoundly human. The next part that I think a takeaway after a week of church shopping, Matt, is I think as a seminarian, as a young person, preachy young person, I can get pretty excited about this take up your cross and follow me business. But as a church shopper, I'm not sure that's exactly what I want to hear you say, like when I show up, you know?
You're not like, oh, these guys are for real. Yes.
These guys are like,
that's what I'm looking for.
It's that like at 30, perhaps. But at 40, like, I mean, I don't need like all that. Like, I just need, you can make my life 5% better. This will be worth it. So,
is it true that these words become harder to hear at 40 because we have more to lose?
Probably.
I don't know. I used to have a more romantic sense of just getting up and moving, but you know.
Matt, I don't know. It feels more complex than that. In some ways, I feel like I have a lot less, right, than I did at 30.
Less? How do you have less?
Oh, I have less hopes, less dreams.
Less hopes.
Less idealism. Less innocence to be stolen.
Yeah, that's, gosh. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
You've lost enough to know that losing everything isn't that great.
Yeah, right. Like, it doesn't sound good. That's what I mean. I mean, it sounds worse. That's what I mean. I mean, you have less. So perhaps we had an abundance of idealism. A surfeit, is that a word? No, less, a minimum of actual stuff, particularly money in the bank account, and later in life, I mean, still not a guarantee you're going to move in that direction, but maybe you have fewer, I don't know, less idealism and more just actual stuff like ceiling fans and air conditioning units.
I shared a lot of stuff moving across the continent, man.
Yeah.
I lost my TV, Matt. They broke my TV.
Oh, no.
It's fine. I got a new one.
I thought you just said you guys had a TV and the projector. Mm-hmm.
And a projector, yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you make of this last part then? This last line, truly I tell you, there's some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What's that mean?
I mean, it makes me such a cranky old man. I'm now in the life of Brian. I've moved to the back of the crowd, and I'm like, no, that's not true, guys. That's not how this is going to go down.
It's not true.
I used to think that too. I was similar. Jesus died at 32, right? So we can know like he's really peaking out at he's really at peak idealism, right? If he's a millennial. Which I can only assume Jesus is a millennial like me, elder millennial, geriatric. You know, I'm at the back like, that's, I mean, I get it. I am down. So it's like this, Matt. Well, okay. I've been running more recently lately, and I, on my street, Matt, or just down the street from the record store, there's a bookstore that is an anarchist community bookstore. Okay.
Yes. Right, uh-huh. As most streets have that. They're like Starbucks.
Most street. I'm sure you've got one in Los Angeles, in Morro Bay. Us coastal elites, now that we're fully a lot more coastal elite than we used to be, have an anarchist community bookstore, and they had their grand opening. I ran by it. And like, you know, I felt really old manny about it is what happened. Like, I felt like an old man the whole time, like on the way back. I was like, anarchy is an untenable philosophical. Like, we have to compromise. You can't just not, I get it. You're all idealistic, but it's not how it's actually going to go.
Yeah.
So I hear Jesus say, some of you will not even taste death before the fulfillment of the kingdom. Which I could preach and like rationalize and like find some like ways. But these days, you know, my honest, like full, like response is like, yeah. I get it. It turns out it's actually a pretty long road, and it's up and down, and
it's so does it, it feels then like it sounds like you know, like you could make the move and be like, well, he's really talking about the cross. That's a really unexpected kingdom. That's what he's really, mm-hmm. But then what you're saying is, well, it sounds kind of like Obi-Wan Kenobi telling Luke in Empire Strikes Back, well, or actually, I think it's Return of the Jedi, from a certain point of view, you didn't even tell me my dad was Darth Vader. You said you were like friends with, well, really though, what I meant, from a certain point of view, I was telling the truth, mm-hmm. You know, from a certain point, and you can hear that and be like, oh, or you can be like, no, you just hadn't written the script yet. Like, what do you, like, no. So you're saying it's more like the, that doesn't, no, Obi-Wan, I'm not buying it.
That's hitting me right now, you know, as a person in the pew, I don't have to preach on this. But I mean, that's the move I'd make, right? If I'm preaching, like that's the move to make. I'm continually struck by, a thing Vitor told us once, Vitor Vestelli, isn't it Vitor, right? Vitor Vestelli, that sounded really profound enough for me to like remember it, but I didn't have any idea what he was talking about, right? Like, is he said that God gives us enough, but God also gives us more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
And like that never, I'm continually like finding that to be true, right? Like, where like more than enough sounds better than enough, but it's not, right? Like, it's a burden having more than enough. And I think that connects here, right? Like, mm-hmm. because you have more than enough, you have so much to lose, because of that, like young adult idealism, there is so much that is so much more that is possible than what I will do, what we will we will do, right? There are so many more pilgrimages to make than you will make or could ever make, you know, and whatever that looks like, that'll, I don't know, haunt me forever. And yet there's also like enough in the more than enough, right? And like it is a, it's the two sides of it. So it's, it, that turns into a super cruciform thing, I think, which fits this week.
Yeah. Well, that'll preach.
yeah, definitely.
You're welcome, preachers. You're welcome, as usual. What do we listen to?
Matt, shout out. I got a good one for regular listener and commentator on the podcast, the Reverend Adam Burt out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Because we got obstacles now. We got stumbling blocks. We got people tripping. We got tripping billies from the Dave Matthews Band, the David Matthews Band, that recently had a New York Times feature about like Bill Simmons style. Are they really good? Are they actually like we are they not bad? Like we thought they were bad, but they're good. So I did the genius.com lookup on tripping billies. What is it actually about? You're not gonna believe this, Matt. It's about a time when Dave was tripping acid in South Africa. And according to legend, someone said the band early in the early days looked like a bunch of hillbillies tripping. So Tripping Billies is going on list.
I'm pretty sure that song I'm pretty sure it's that song, but it was definitely a Dave Matthews song that showed up in What We Do in the Shadows recently, as well as Colin Robinson's Mood Music. He was gonna get it on with
that's right,
a doll. I don't even know how to explain it, but it was basically his new music he put on Tripping Billies, and it was great.
It's fantastic. Matt, my new favorite band that I'm really disappointed about, because they were here in Asheville in like March, so they're probably not gonna be around for a while, is Big Thief. I think Big Thief is fantastic, man. Like I've fallen fully in the hole. I've been really on the, what's the one song? The, my love is wild and weaving. God, it's so good. But I'm gonna put Vampire Empire on there, 'cause I think it's actually a better song. And it will get earwormy. It's perfect. Chorus is falling. In your Vampire Empire, I'm falling. I am nothing without the... Oh, gosh. It's so good. You got to check it out. So, Big Thief, Vampire Empire, check it out. And finally, I'm still digging some Barty Strange after seeing him open for the Bee Gees, Boy Genius, a while back. And I'm going to put Heavy Heart on there because it fits with Jeremiah's Heavy Heart that he's got going on right now. How about you, Matt? What are we spinning these days?
Those are an eclectic three. I like it. My band of the last few years, The Killers, put out a new single last week. It's very it's very new wavy. It's a vibe. It's a mood. And the mood, to me, I think, is the mood of Peter after Jesus said this to him. He's gotta be bruising a little bit. And he's putting this song on, and he's hanging out on Jesus' side of town, you know, wants to reconcile. So, The Killers, Your Side of Town. And then as I'm driving up the coast here, to San Francisco, I'm going to put on, I believe in love and the idea of, the Mowgli San Francisco, I'm going to put on there, which is also, I mean, it's just a great song. It's got San Francisco in the title, which is why I'm listening to it on this road trip. And showed up in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which Zach panned just viciously on this podcast. Just
are we talking about Ahsoka right now, or are we talking about, is that next week?
Did you know It Was Fine? It's just a vicious tearing apart.
Wait till you hear about my Ahsoka take.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Ahsoka.
Oh, good.
Running, and then finally... Jesus mentions angels here. So I'm going to put a song with angels in the title, which is Running with the Angels by Brittany Howard and Tina P, which is actually the theme song for Angel City FC. It is actually a song I was written awesome. For the team. Yeah. And they play it before the game. It's pretty, we're very impressed, with ACFC's marketing and whole vibe. It's quite, over the top.
It's impressive. The NWSL team that plays there in Los Angeles.
The game was sold out. Like, I was trying to get tickets and I was like, this is surprisingly expensive. It's actually, yeah. So running with the Angels, Brittany Howard.
I have three items for you. Number one, Matt, is Come Back from San Francisco by the Magnetic Fields on your playlist this week.
Okay.
Are you familiar?
I will add it. I don't think so.
Come Back from San Francisco. It can't be all that pretty when all of New York City misses you. Should pretty girls and disco distract you from your novel? Remember, I'm awful in love with you. It's a gorgeous song. Number two.
I was listening to a song by them about Washington, D.C. as well. Mm. They're going to play
a surprising
songs.
Number of places. I mean, yeah. I do have Born on a Train, which, again,
you love
my song. Then in Hot Soccer Takes, really excited, the Asheville Armory meets exactly 1 mile from my house, which is pretty cool. Asheville Armory is the supporters club, local supporters club of the Arsenal Football Club. Went and checked it out with Zelma. A little disappointing game. We tied, gave up a goal at the last minute to Fulham. But pretty excited about that. And Matt, I just got to say this because I don't have a public venue to say it. We need just to respect what Messi's doing, okay? Because I don't know if you've been following this, Matt. Messi has arrived at Internacional Miami. Mm-hmm. And since he has arrived, he has done incredible things. He's scored a goal a game. He's averaged one goal per game over, we're probably up to 9 games now. Like, it's incredible. They are really good. They were the worst team in MLS before this transfer break, which implies that it's all Messi, which is not, okay? Because he also, Jordi Alba and Busquets arrived in that transfer window together, and they were all the spine, the critical pieces of like the last Barcelona teams that were really good. And the thing is, Messi's not that old. Like, he's not Beckham. Mm-hmm. Like, Beckham was done.
That's what I was going to say. Like, we've had celebrity, like, people in MLS, but Beckham was kind of on the other side of that. He's just a master for the game. He wasn't really...
He was never even what Messi is right now. Like, the height of Beckham, for all that he was never, soccer-wise, never what Messi is right now.
And yeah.
Let me remind people, Messi was just the most valuable player of the World Cup 8 months ago. Okay? So he was already considered the greatest player of all time.
Yeah.
He's a little older. He's 35. Yeah. Still the World Cup, which he won.
Right.
And has lots of good players in it. He was named the most valuable player. And MLS is not, you know, it's not the Champions League. Okay? Like, I'm an MLS booster. Okay? But I'm aware, right? Like, top level MLS clubs are playing like relegation zone Premier League teams, top of the championship, second division in England. Okay. The hot take is to say this is bad for MLS because Messi just has come over and he's just dominated and showed how bad the product is, right? That is not what has happened to your people. Okay. What has happened is the greatest player to ever play soccer is doing it in the MLS right now. And you should spend time watching it because it is incredible. And like, he's motivated for the first time in a while because he got Jordaned out of Barcelona, Matt. If you recall from Bill Simmons histories and Save the Last Dance, not Save the Last Dance. That was an excellent film based in Chicago with Julie Stiles. I believe it was just Last Dance. Was that the name of the doc? Mm-hmm.
The Last Dance. Yeah.
Yeah. The Last Dance. Jordan didn't necessarily want to retire in 98, but there was nowhere for him to play. Like, nobody could afford him by the time that it all happened, and he wasn't going to play for the Bulls anymore. So he kind of had to retire. Similar thing with Messi. Messi only wanted to play for Barcelona, and yet the only team that could afford him in the world was Paris, was Paris Saint-Germain, PSG, with their Emirati money, and so they did it. All right, he wasn't super excited to be there. The team was super dysfunctional in Paris. He's finally getting to play in a situation that he's really excited about and fun. He's having a great time. Like, it's remarkable. I will not take this MLS blasphemy that none of our listeners have been dishing out to me. So their ego.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it must, I mean, it must be fun for him. He's now won the World Cup. He's got nothing else to prove.
Well, he's got to win the MLS Cup. There's one thing he hasn't done.
I mean, he's just having fun at this point. I mean, sure, win the MLS Cup.
He brought his friends with him. He does love, like, Jordi Alba and Busquets. Like, he literally brought his friends.
Justin Martinez.
Also, Matt, I don't know if you checked it out, the crest for Inter Miami is impeccable. Have I told you this? I've already, like, it's Art Deco-y, which, you know, Asheville has an Art Deco. It's the second largest collection of Art Deco architecture in the United States. Because of the Gilded Age stuff, but it then has herons, like these intertwined herons.
Oh, I see it. It is good.
So,
well, I live in the city of the current reigning champs, so we'll see how this season plays out.
We'll see. They did just lose to Charlotte FC, but
I saw that.
I was close to going. Didn't work out, but
I mean, I can watch. I have my MLS. What is it? I don't know what it's called. All Access or something.
Yeah.
Through T-Mobile, which gave it to me as a gift. So I don't T-Mobile. Know if you're what looking a for a phone carrier, but
I have just acquired one. No gifts. It's a gift
just
of
cheaper.
A,
yeah.
Just, cheaper bill.
Yeah. Well, that's why people come to this podcast.
It's been real. Cross and follow me. I'm like, meh. I don't believe it. I don't buy the buzz.
Tell you about this Miami logo. I have
a very nuanced opinion about a very niche topic.
It's been real.
Real vinyl.